This morning's scripture is chosen as part of the lectionary reading for this Sunday. It is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 38 through 42. Now, as they, that is the disciples and Jesus, went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. It's a very short passage of Scripture. It doesn't appear in Mark or Matthew or John, only in Luke, very short. Yet my hunch is that every one of you know who Mary and Martha are before I read that Scripture. They're famous. Now I'd like to take a little quiz. If you had to identify with either one of them, who would you identify most with? Let's have all the Marthas raise your hands. Okay. Now let's all the Marys raise your hands. Say, "I'm both." Want to try it one more time? No, sorry. A Tale of Two Teachings. You know, context is very important when we read the Bible. What was in front of this passage? And maybe what follows it? Since I was not here last Sunday, we were traveling, I really don't know if last week's scripture was what was suggested in the lectionary, but it is the previous passage in the Gospel of Luke, which happens to be the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Even if that scripture was not read, it really did fit into Andrea's message. We know the story. Let me remind you of how it began. A man asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Well, follow the law." "What is the law? Tell me." And he said, "Well, the most important, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "Do this and you shall live." And then seeking to justify himself, the man said, "Well, who's my neighbor? Is it that person way out over there in that corner? Or is it that person right there? Who's my neighbor? I mean, how far do you want me to push this?" This is so current. This is so current. It's heartsick. And so Jesus told this story of how people were going down the road and they saw a man lying in the ditch, wounded, beaten up, robbed, and left alone to die. And that the priest and the rabbi walked right by. But the Samaritan, who wouldn't have been expected to respond to a Jew, because the Jews and the Samaritans were, quote, not neighbors, at least in the good sense of the word, he stopped, picked him up, put him on his horse or donkey, took him to an inn, gave money to the innkeeper to take care of him. And then Jesus looked at the man who had asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And he said, well, which of these three men, the priest, the rabbi, or the Samaritan, acted as neighbor? And I said, the Samaritan. And he said, do as he did, and you shall live. And then Luke, for some reason, followed that beautiful, powerful story with this little vignette about when he walked into Bethany and was invited to come into the house of Martha. I believe that they were friends. They knew each other. Invited him and his disciples to come in and have a meal. And of course, Martha was scurrying around. She's trying to get all the 12, maybe more people into this little house. Where do I, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I needed more time. And then, like the mice in the field, they saw Frederick and all this. She noticed that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in, listening to the teachings that Jesus is sharing with all of the people that are there, except her. She's running around trying to get ready for the meal. And she felt something in her heart. She felt anger. She felt resentment. So she went up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, would you please tell Mary to come and help me? Don't you care that, you know, she, please, would you tell her? And much to her surprise, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't say, oh, Mary, why don't you go help your sister? She says, no, Mary, she said, Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are so anxious and distracted by many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Two teachings were given that day. I believe that this intentionally follows the previous passage of Scripture. How is it that we gain the ability to really be neighbors to everyone? Does it just happen naturally for most of us? Probably not. Some of us from our birth have been tainted by words heard from parents about the others. Some of us may have heard from our friends words about the other that we came to believe is true. Some of us may be filled with fear about, well, can we accommodate all these differences and what will happen? So, let's look at the two teachings. One teaching is to really hear Jesus. Can you imagine what it must have been to come into his presence, even to sit at his feet and open your heart to the incredible words, wisdom, power, love that Jesus shared with those who were open enough to hear him? Can you imagine what that must have been? No wonder Mary wanted to sit at his feet. What a privilege. What an opportunity. That is important, isn't it? To encounter great teachings, great truth, great beauty, great love. It moves us. It takes us into possibilities that maybe we hadn't dreamed yet. It encourages us on our way. That is so vital for each of us to encounter those kinds of moments. Personally, I know as a musician, when I hear a master Whoa. I can remember going up to Rochester and attending a very intimate concert presented by Yo-Yo Ma in a small room in the Rochester Art Museum. He was playing with a pianist and a quartet or so forth. We went out there and we sat maybe 30 feet away from Yo-Yo Ma. He came out and he sat down and he picked up his bow and he closed his eyes. And then there was a sound. What he could do with a cello. The angels were singing. So because I'm attuned to music, music touches me deeply. Art can touch people deeply. There are many ways that we can find messages that speak deeply to us, whether it's in religion, faith, spirituality, beauty, music, philosophy, nature, what have you. It's wise for us to seek out and to take opportunities to hear these things and be changed and challenged. That's teaching number one. Teaching number two. It didn't happen all at once with Martha. It couldn't. Jesus sought to reach her, to help her to see herself. He held up a mirror to her, if you will. Martha, you are so anxious and distracted about many things. This is not a criticism. This is just a comment. This is what I see. You are anxious. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of what's going on in your being right now? You're angry. You're anxious. Can you gain freedom from that? Can you gain the skills and the self-awareness to notice what's going on inside of you? To notice it and to hold it and then allow it to dissipate. If you can do that, your life will be different. I think it's wonderful that Jesus was really not saying anything about Martha as what? A caretaker, a server, any of that? He was just focusing on you're anxious, you're distracted, you're upset. Who she is as a being, as a person, is valuable. There is nothing wrong with feeling responsible, feeling it's important to do a good job. There's nothing wrong with, quote, being a Martha. But what is not helpful is if we see something like the mice who saw Frederick and became anxious and angry. So that's teaching number two, is to help us to see, or Martha to see, and in turn us, to look deeply into our own lives and how we respond to the events into which we encounter life. Our church is a remarkable group of people. We are seeking a vision for what we can become. And I think that as we do that, these two teachings are important to remember. We must open ourselves to teaching number one, to open ourselves to what can inspire us and give us examples of how we can grow and become involved and be more purely body of Christ here in this community and share our energy abroad. So we can be inspired by examples that have been set before us. But also, we can do some deep inner work. I'm impressed that some people here in this church have taken advantage of the Foundation of Light 3-year path towards spiritual growth and clear seeing, spiritual health and well-being. A number of people here in this community have made that commitment and followed through. Here they are in our midst as lights. I'm impressed in the women's retreats that occur once a year and that so many of our women go and spend the weekend together looking deeply into issues that are important. Five of us in this church in a couple of weeks will be traveling to Bethany in the Moravian Seminary to take part in a week-long wisdom school of training in contemplative prayer in the spirit of Cynthia Bourgeau. Hopefully that will be an opportunity for both kinds of teachings to occur, becoming challenged and enthusiastic about what we can learn about Jesus in the wisdom tradition, but also to meditate and to look deeply into our own lives and our own selves. We are called to greatness. We are called to a mission that is incredibly important. We are called to be body of Christ in the ways that we can authentically be that body. And I believe that we can grow and keep growing, feel our hearts expanding, opening, being able to fully embrace everyone, everything as neighbor with care, appreciation, and love. Amen.